Let's read together Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is an amazing messianic psalm. Let's begin by reading the first 10 verses. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the works of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and were delivered. They trusted in you, and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Let's begin our study of Psalm 22 with some background notes. Right from verse 1, we see that Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. Because remember, the Lord quoted the beginning of this psalm from the cross as his own experience. My God, why have you forsaken me? See Matthew chapter 27 and Mark chapter 15 in this connection. When David wrote this psalm, apparently he was going through a deep, troubling experience where he felt that God had forsaken him and that the Lord was not answering his prayers for deliverance. In verses 4 and 5, he reminds the Lord that his forefathers had prayed for deliverance and God had answered them. Think of Moses. Think of Joshua. Think of Gideon. Why, David prayed, was God not answering him? And then in verses 6 through 8, David says that he not only felt forsaken by God, but people were snubbing him and despising him and mocking his faith in God. In verses 9 and 10, we see that David had learned to trust the Lord as a child and had confidence in the Lord. Think of David's victory over Goliath, for example. That is why it was so hard for David to understand in this situation why the Lord seems so far away. You ever have that experience? Well, we know the answer why here in David's case. This is a typical messianic psalm. That is, God ordained that David would go through these experiences because the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, would go through the experiences of the cross. So Psalm 22 is a typical messianic psalm in that David's experiences are typical of what the Messiah would go through. But we will see that in parts of this psalm, the experiences go beyond the experiences of David to the experiences of the Messiah alone. In other words, the psalm is purely prophetic of the Messiah in these places and not just typically messianic. And that brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for Psalm 22. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord experienced the requirements of substitution. The Lord experienced the requirements of substitution. Why did the Lord Jesus cry out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Was the Lord only quoting Psalm 22? Or was he really going through the experience of being forsaken by God, his Heavenly Father? We know the answer. It was a real experience because the Lord was on the cross dying for our sins. And God, who is holy, as we see here in verse 3, must judge sin. And he had to forsake his only Son when the Lord Jesus became our substitute on the cross. Now, the Lord did not become a sinner, but he was judged for our sins. He took the penalty of judgment and death for us. He was our substitute. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus died in our place as our substitute. It was the only way to meet the requirements that God's holiness demanded. The Lord experienced the requirements of substitution. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord experienced the sufferings of crucifixion. the Lord experienced the sufferings of crucifixion. Verses 11 through 21. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. This section of Psalm 22 is amazing, both in its perspective of the sufferings of Christ and in its prediction of the sufferings of Christ. As to the perspective of the Lord's sufferings, Psalm 22 is not written in the third person about the sufferings of the Messiah, as in the Gospels, but rather in the first person, by the Messiah himself. And notice that the perspective is from the cross. In this section of the psalm, the Lord is speaking from the cross as he is being crucified. The piercing of his hands and feet have already taken place, verse 16. But the Lord has not yet died. There is no mention of the spear wound to his side here in Psalm 22, because that took place after our Lord had died. In verses 11 through 13, the jeering, heartless mob around the cross is pictured as bulls surrounding the Lord with no one to help as the Lord suffers alone. In verses 14 and 15, the Lord's sufferings of crucifixion are vividly portrayed. I am poured out like water, profuse perspiration. All my bones are out of joint. Think of the raised cross being dropped into its hole in the ground without mercy. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Heart prostration goes with crucifixion. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. Physical exhaustion. Verses 16 through 18 definitely go beyond any experience that David had. David's hands and feet were not pierced, but the Lord's hands and feet were pierced. David's clothes were not gambled for, but the Lord's clothes were gambled for. And that brings us to the amazing prophetic aspect of Psalm 22. In reference to the sufferings of Christ. Psalm 22 was certainly written well before the time of Christ, as proven by the find of the Psalms in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And yet these verses describe crucifixion, a Roman way of execution, unknown in Old Testament days. Now for years, unbelieving critics of the Bible, who don't believe in the miracle of fulfilled prophecy, we're saying that early Christians manipulated the Greek translation of Psalm 22 and made it say, pierced, in verse 16, when supposedly the ancient Hebrew text did not have pierced. Well, guess what? The Hebrew text of Psalm 22 in the Dead Sea Scrolls supports pierced, in verse 16, an amazing prediction of the crucifixion of Christ. The Lord experienced the sufferings of crucifixion. Doctrinal point number three. The Lord experienced the blessings of resurrection. The Lord experienced the blessings of resurrection. At the end of verse 21, the Lord is no longer forsaken by the Father. His cry is not only heard by the Father, but answered by the Father. You have answered me. Verse 21. The Lord's time of being forsaken of God was over. Remember, the Lord said from the cross, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and died. Now from verse 22 to the end of the psalm, the perspective is from the Messiah, now resurrected. Let's read these verses. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Notice the joy of resurrection in verse 22. The Savior is no longer alone. He is declaring the Father's name in the midst of his brethren. That includes us, as this verse is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, in reference to all believers. In verses 23 through 31, our attention is drawn to the results of the Lord's death and resurrection. The scope of these verses is not limited to the present time. They certainly look forward to Christ's second coming and his earthly kingdom. In that day, the Lord himself will lead restored Israel's praise to the Father, verses 23 through 25. At that time, the poor and afflicted will be relieved, verse 26. The whole earth will recognize the lordship of Christ, verses 27 through 29. The righteousness of Christ and his performed work of verse 31, or work that is done, that is his finished work, will be declared to generation after generation throughout the rest of man's history on this earth, verses 30 and 31. All of this blessing is part of the victory of the resurrection. The Lord experienced the blessings of resurrection. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 22? Are you in Psalm 22? Are you in Psalm 22? Well, you are in verse 22 of Psalm 22 if you're a believer. I will declare your name to my brethren. As we mentioned before, all believers are included in the brethren here, as this verse is quoted in Hebrews 2:12 in reference to all believers. But now what about verses 30 and 31? Are you there? A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Are you in these verses? You are if you're serving the Lord and sharing about his righteousness and finished work. Not all Christians are telling others about Christ. Are you? All believers are in verse 22 of Psalm 22. But not all believers are in verses 30 and 31 of Psalm 22. Are you in Psalm 22?